One of the teams with aspirations of going all the way is the Denver Nuggets. They lost for the second day in a row today to the Golden State Warriors in a red hot Steph Curry. But that is not the story. Joining us now is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. You can catch him on Twitter at HB Basketball and at the Action Network. Matt, we'll get to the game in a moment, but what is the latest on Jamal Murray, who was hurt in the last 50 seconds, a non-contact injury that had him down in pain with his knee and needed to be helped off the court?
So there's no real update. Michael Mullen spoke after the game. He hasn't spoken with Jamal. Said that a coach, one of his coaching staff, said that it looked like a hyperextension. I think that might be wishful thinking on their part. Just not a doctor, just based off of having watched the league for as long as I have. They're working to get him an MRI right now. They'll likely confirm either tonight or tomorrow the severity of the injury. You're hoping for a sprain or a hyperextension. Based off of the fact that it was non-contact, the way the knee buckled, the amount of pain he was in, you have to be at least cognizant of the fact that there's a strong possibility of it being a tear of some ligament in the knee, which would obviously end his season. A very distraught and pretty upset Michael Malone after the game. You just tell that this was brutal for him, brutal for the team, so the locker room was really down, predictably. This reshapes everything about the season, and you know, as everything had just been going well, that's how quickly it can change, especially in a season that's been truncated this much by the NBA.
Let's get back to that in a moment, but let's talk about this game and yesterday's game. Obviously, the majority of this game was played with Murray on the court and playing healthy, but second game in a row where the Nuggets just the defense seems to collapse, and to be honest, it appears that the referees seem to be a little bit in the Nuggets' head, maybe more than they should be. Am I missing something?
No, you're right. I think it starts with Jokic. I think, quite honestly, I think if the Murray injury had not happened, there would have been concerns about, if they don't turn this around, this can snowball on you quick. This was their second back-to-back in 5 days. They've played 6 and 9 nights, and they just are not there. Again, I come on here and talk about this constantly. It's not the physical toll. That obviously is a big deal. It's the mental and emotional toll. And the Nuggets are just frayed. And Jokic in particular, I think, having played all those games, that was kind of, one of the benchmarks, one of the hallmarks of his MVP candidacy was that he hasn't missed a game. Well, the strain has gotten, I think, to be too much. He has a legitimate gripe with the officiating.
He does.
But it's causing him to not respond in the way that the Nuggets need, and that responded to the huge run. Now, also, I will say this, they were tired, they were on the road, it was a back-to-back, Golden State played great. This Warriors team has been really hit or miss this season. James Wiseman being out, I think, helps them. Steph Curry was having one of his nights, which he can have, especially if you leave him open. So, the result really wasn't that much of a shocker. It would have set us up more had the Murray injury not happened. I would have been talking about, look, this is not good, but what matters is how they respond on Wednesday. But the Murray injury changes everything.
Michael Porter Jr., the last couple games, on Sunday, he broke he did break a 17-game streak in which he had shot 50% or better, 1 for 12 from 3. Tonight, even though he did get 22 points and 11 boards, both led the Nuggets in that game, 24 points, 9 boards tonight, but 1 for 7 from 3, making him 2 for 19. And this is a guy that's been absolutely just stroking the ball from 3. Is that just a little bit of fatigue, just maybe a little bit of the legs not being there, or is there something more problematic?
No, actually, I think the way that I kind of look at it, because, he's a young guy, right?
Right.
I think the better way to kind of look at Porter's game is that when the Nuggets don't have it, when the ball's not popping, when he's not able to slide into that, which he worked really hard to acclimate himself to that, Porter, because he's this is how he's wired, is don't worry, I'll get us going. And there have been a lot of opportunities in which he's just taken ill-advised shots outside of the flow of the offense, looking for a quick hit. Okay, we hit a three, and the momentum shifts. It honestly reminds me a lot of how sometimes college players will do that, looking to turn the tide on a run, right? That's what it reminded me of. He had a few tonight that were just poor shots, and he's going to take those if the offense is struggling the way it is. Like, I'm not even criticizing Porter for this because at least he's trying to lift them up. Like Will Barton, same deal, trying to get the Nuggets going. If Jokic isn't going to engage and get them moving and get them going, one of the other players is going to try and step up and do that, and then you get poor shots. So I'm not saying that Jokic is responsible for Porter's shot selection, but Jokic is responsible for the offense, and when it's lagging, I think Porter tries to compensate for it.
It does show just how much Jokic really is in charge of this team. I mean, it really is. He goes, the team goes. Again, you know, he had 27, 12, and 8 tonight. It's not like he was necessarily bad, and he shot almost 50% from the field, 10 from 21. And in Porter's case, it was the three-point issue. You take the threes away, he shot 10 for 14 from within the arc, so it's not as if it was bad. But in Jokic's case, how do you get him to calm down with this? It's a situation that teams have had to deal with before with certain players, and as you pointed out, rightly so, I've done it as well. He has a legitimate gripe, but it is clearly getting into his game.
I honestly, I think, Sean, like it's you don't treat the symptom, which is the symptom is the annoyance at the officiating, mm-hmm. Okay? Like, the problem is the exhaustion, and you can try and address that, but I'll tell you, it's not going to happen. They're not going to, like, you know, they're still going to compete and still fight. They're not going to, with Jamal Murray being obviously out at least for the short term, if not the long term, they're not going to be like, okay, we'll give Jokic a few games off. That's not going to happen. So you just kind of grin and bear it and try and get through it, and, you know, he'll work through it the way that everyone that's exhausted works through it and just kind of keep going. I also think that, like, look, it's just, they just play a lot of basketball over the last calendar year. And they're at the point where they, like, they're ready to start the playoffs, or they were until, again, Murray went down. And so, like, that's a lot of this. I don't have a lot of, I don't think that Jokic is going to completely spiral and unwind. I think you got to get through the next month of games and then you deal with the playoffs as it comes.
Okay, let's get back to the Murray injury. Presuming it is at least long enough term that the Nuggets are going to maybe have to finish the regular season without him, and that seems like a distinct possibility. Presumably, Monte Morris will move into the starting lineup. Am I right?
Yeah, we'll see. He had been playing Faku Composite because Morris is on
minutes. They can't. I mean, I know the minutes restriction with Monte Morris, and of course, you wanted to sort of do something with that second unit, which has been really kind of sloppy, and try to get it under control, but they cannot go with Faku Composite as the starting point guard, can they?
I mean, I think they can in the short term until Morris is off his minutes limit. I also wonder if eventually PJ Dozier goes back into that role. Like, I could see that being the countermeasure that they wind up, or honestly putting Barton at the point and then playing Barton and Dozier together and going that route. Like, there's some options that they can get outside the box with, but I think in the short term you should expect to see Faku Composite until Morris is off that minutes limit. When Morris is off the minutes limit by the time the playoffs get here, then yeah, I would expect Morris to start. But until Morris is off that minutes restriction, I think he will continue to start Composite in place of Murray.
How long do you expect that minutes restriction to last? You mentioned until the playoffs start. Is that what they're looking at?
Let's see. No, I would say he's probably out of it by a week or so, maybe next game, but okay. It could be another week. But look, I also think that you've got to be cognizant of, you know, if you're trying, okay, especially if you're without Murray, you're not worried about the starter scoring, right? So you're trying to make sure that the bench unit can run. And if you take Morris off of the bench unit, it's been worse without Morris. Like, that, it really struggled without Morris. So, like, this is part of it, is the whole Nuggets construct was built around Jokic and Murray. And without one of them, it gets real dicey real quick.
We're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Obviously, some down news for the Denver Nuggets with what appeared to be, at least, a significant knee injury to Jamal Murray, who had just sat out the last four games. And let's hypothetically construct around it, because I do think what you suggested with Will Barton makes a lot of sense, and it's something that I can see Michael Malone doing. In that case, would you see Porter Jr. sliding back to the three and maybe Millsap moving into the starting lineup? And if so, how does that alter their offense?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I could see, you know, Barton moving to point, but you still need a guard. I think it's got to be like Barton, Dozier, Gordon, Porter, Jokic. I think that's still got to be the starters. But that has to be your rotation. It'll honestly, a lot of it will just come down to if Murray does not come back, then it's going to have to be matchup dependent. Like, that's just what you're going to have to do. If you're facing quick guards, if you face Portland, you want PJ Dozier because you want a quick defender on the wing to guard Damian Lillard. If you play the Lakers, you want more size, so you might go with Jamichael Green to combat some of that. You might just go super big. There are options, but there aren't good ones. That's the reality without Murray.
Let's go worst case scenario and presume that Jamal Murray is out for the remainder of at least, well, maybe not worst case, remainder of the regular season, the next 18 games to finish off the year. What do the Nuggets attempt to try to replace? What, because we've seen the last four games, two of them looked pretty good. What can the Nuggets do to sort of reconfigure their offense without Murray? Do they need the three-point shooting? Do they need the driving? What is it that they lose in Murray that is not replaceable for the Denver Nuggets? And what do you think they would basically, how far do they sink in the standings? What's your guess?
Shot-making takes a major drop. Passing, honestly, is a bigger deal than you would think, because you have played a two-man game like seamlessly with Jokic. There's nobody else that can really do that as well. Barton can do some of it, but isn't necessarily the threat. You know, I think, honestly, Murray's defense is a little bit underrated at this point. I mean, you lose a heart. Honestly, this is part of it. Like, Murray's become like a heartbeat.
Agreed.
Yeah, because he's such a fighter. He's such a warrior. He battles through everything. So you lose a lot of that as well. I don't think, you know, there's people that are like, what if they just don't even make the playoffs? And like, that's absurd. Like, they're gonna make the playoffs. But I do think, look, I think a slide to six and being on the verge of the play-in is very possible. Murray means that much to the team. Like, they did not play well when he was out. And you need him, especially in the tougher matchups, like the ones versus the Warriors where you need firepower, you need Murray. And so without him, I think things get very dicey. I think the bigger concern beyond that is, look, if he's back for the regular season, they'll keep battling. Like, that's part of it. If they know that he's coming back for the playoffs, then they can get through the rest of this regular season, pick up enough wins versus sub-500 teams, et cetera, find enough ways to get to the finish line 30 days from now. If he's not coming back, then that becomes a different question, because now guys are like, you know, the doubt of can we really do anything is going to creep in. And the emotional toll of that, I think, will be significant.
A five-game winning streak by the Clippers and the Nuggets loss in the last two means that they are now 2.5 games behind the Clippers for the three spot. They're only 2.5 out of the sixth spot, and you'd have to think they're more likely to drop than not. You say that there's no risk of them missing the playoffs. They're only six games away from being out of it. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, Sean, go take a look at what's going on with the Blazers right now. Go take a gander over what's going on in Blazers Twitter right now.
Right.
It's a like the phrase "fire stats" is trending over there in Portlandia.
But they're not games over 500.
Dallas is really struggling. I don't think anyone's going to make this huge surge. And if they do, they still have to jump several teams, including the Lakers, who are still without LeBron James until the end of the month as well. Like, I'm not saying it can't happen, right? Like, this is a crazy season, and the Murray injury is significant. Would I be shocked if they wound up seventh? No. Do I think it's likely? No. And do I think they get out of the play-in? Yeah, I do. I still think they can get out of the play-in if they wind up in it. Is it possible? Yeah, but even then, like, I don't know how you really knock them. Like, if you lose Jamal Murray, where are you going anyway? That's kind of the question. Like, that's why this is so gutting, is the Nuggets really had a chance. They were really there. And if Murray's not with them, then that's gone.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted out during the commercial break, that if this is serious, the Nuggets' opportunity to go to the Western Conference Finals, which is as far as they've ever gone as a team. They've never gone to the NBA Finals. I mean, it evaporates. And that's the reality of this situation. So for the Nuggets, that really is potentially just devastating, because this is realistically, I think, and you've covered this team for a long time, I really do think, because when the Nuggets in the 80s were getting to that level, they were facing off against the Showtime Lakers. They were going to get past them. This, to my mind, up until, quite frankly, about a half hour ago, was the Denver Nuggets' best opportunity to ever win an NBA title.
Yeah, and then you've, like, not to make things worse, but look, if it takes Murray, you know, the usual 9 months to get back, your return sometime before All-Star break next year. And then you've got, you've only got like a 4-month period and one playoff run with the team fully healthy with Aaron Gordon before you got to figure out Gordon's extension and, Michael Porter Jr.'s extension. Like the window was this year and next. That was the whole thought with the trade. You traded Gary Harris and you traded the pick and you did all this because you're like, all right, we got two playoffs to figure this out. We got a 2-year run. And if Murray's not, is Murray's out, which again, you know, the coaching staff thought is hyperextension. Maybe you can be proven wrong. Maybe everything works out good, but if it's significant, then, everything the Nuggets had planned and hoped for, kind of goes up in flames.
A devastating loss for the Nuggets, and not even talking about the one on the court. We'll have to find out what's going on over the next day or so. And you'll want to follow Matt to make sure you have the latest. Follow him at HP Basketball and at the Action Network. Our Nuggets insider, thanks so much for the time tonight. Despite the very dreary news, we'll cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Talk to you, John.
All right. Thank you, Matt Moore. Brought to you by Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. Bad news. Look, I'm not a doctor either. Non-contact injuries generally are not good. He went down with an awful lot of pain. I can see the argument that it may be hyperextension. We'll just find out, wait for the Nuggets doctors to see it and take a look. But yeah, it's entirely possible that their chances of getting a long way and repeating that run to the Western Conference Finals simply evaporated tonight. And that is
No! We suck again!
Well, I wouldn't say I'd go that far. However, you could save that drop for the next segment when we discuss the Colorado Rockies. Next.